I wish to extend a warm welcome to anyone who might be visiting the cathedral today. Thank you for coming and joining us to celebrate Holy Mass. And I also wish to extend my greetings to those who may be joining us via live stream. There is great cause for rejoicing. Today is Gaudete Sunday, as evidenced by the rose vestments that we're wearing today. Gaudete means rejoice. And so St. Paul instructs us in his first letter to the Thessalonians that we heard proclaimed today, rejoice always, in all circumstances give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Rejoice, in all circumstances give thanks. We turn our hearts to thanksgiving and to rejoicing this week because Christmas is coming ever closer, and we are so grateful for the coming of the Lord and all that he has done for us. And it seems that even in the midst of this year, which has been a difficult year, there's great cause for rejoicing and giving thanks in the midst of a global pandemic. Not that the pandemic is good, it certainly isn't. But what are the spiritual blessings that God has given us this year for which we can rejoice and give the Lord thanks? In the time of pandemic, have we not had to trust in the Lord more? And so is this an occasion for us to have deeper faith and so give the Lord thanks for that? Have we not had an opportunity to focus on what is truly important? Faith and family and love of God and love of neighbor. And for this we can give thanks. Has the pandemic brought a blessing of more family time? Can we not give thanks for this? And let us also give thanks for the very dedicated medical personnel, for all of the hard work that they have been doing to care for people who are sick. As we continue this journey through the time of Advent and look for the coming of the Lord, let us reflect on the blessings of this last year and give the Lord thanks. And let us rejoice for the good that he has done for us. Now, I know as the pandemic has been dragging on, it's getting a little difficult, and that might be an understatement. And some questions have been posed to me related to some very recent news. The FDA has just given emergency permission for the use of the vaccine for COVID-19 that's been developed by Pfizer. And the question has been posed to me, well, is it morally okay to get the vaccine? And the simple answer is yes. It's morally permissible, it's morally okay to get the vaccine. Yet it seems opportune for us to take a look at the moral principles that lead to this conclusion. The reason why, first of all, there is any concern about vaccines is that some vaccines are developed using cell lines that have been taken from tissue from aborted babies, and that's why there is a concern. And so let's take a look at these principles and let's look at how we get to our conclusion. First of all, abortion is a very grave evil, and we should work to bring an end to abortion and pray for God's peace and healing and mercy for all of those who've had abortions. So many people are deeply wounded by this, and we need to pray for God's peace and mercy and healing. Next principle. We may never do something that is intrinsically evil, and we may never will anything that is evil. Next principle. Even though we do not will the evil, or even though we may not do the evil, in addition, we may never willfully and freely do anything that provides essential circumstances for an evil to occur. And let me give you an example of that. For example, in the case of an abortion, the anesthesiologist does not perform the abortion himself. He does not do the evil. However, providing the anesthesia is something essential for that evil to occur. So it's also morally wrong to do something that provides essential circumstances for evil to occur. We can't do that either. Next principle. There are some occasions, however, where good actions that we perform may bear some relation to evil by doing something that's not essential for the evil to occur, but in some way is related to it or helps it or assists it. In some cases, it's morally permissible for us to do these good things, provided that we do not will the evil to occur, and that we have a very good reason for doing it. And let's also give an example of something like this. Let's just say you go to a pharmacy to get your prescription filled for heart medicine, but that pharmacy also provides drugs that cause abortion. Now, even though you do not will abortion to occur, in a remote way, by doing business at that pharmacy, you help to keep it open for business. And in a very remote way, you might contribute to abortion in just a little bit by getting your prescription filled. Here, it's clear that you are doing something good. Namely, you are getting your heart medicine, which you need for your health. It's also clear that it's not essential that you get that prescription filled for the abortion to occur. It's very remotely connected to it. It's not essential for the abortion to occur that you're getting that prescription filled. And secondly, any way you would be contributing to any abortion would be very, very remote. It doesn't have much of an influence on it. Those who would have greater responsibility, of course, would be those who produce the drugs that cause abortion, the physician that prescribes it, the person who takes it, the pharmacist who fills a prescription, and so forth. So in a situation like this, your good action of getting the prescription filled is morally permissible. It's okay. Any contribution to abortion there is very, very remote. It's pretty small. And you in no way will that evil to occur. So go ahead, get your heart medicine. Now, of course, if you know of any pharmacies that, you know, don't provide such drugs, as a witness to the dignity of human life, it would be good for us to go to those other locations. Now let's take an application of these principles to the Pfizer vaccine. Let's remember this. We may never do anything evil. We may never will anything evil. We may never do anything that's essential for the evil to occur. But in some circumstances, we can do some good actions that might have some relationship to evil, provided it's, you know, pretty remote and there's really good reason for us to be doing so. So let's take a look at how this applies to the current circumstance. As I indicated, some vaccines are developed using cell lines that were taken from children who were aborted. Generally, these abortions occurred decades ago, and they've been culturing these cell lines for decades. What's very important here is that the Pfizer vaccine does not use any such cells in either the development or the production of the vaccine. It's very important. The Pfizer vaccine does not use such cells in either the development or the production of the vaccine. However, in the course of testing, a confirmatory lab test for this vaccine did use some cells from one of these cell lines. However, that lab test is non-essential for the production and development of the vaccine. So even there, the connection is pretty remote. Therefore, any connection that somebody has to abortion who's receiving the vaccine is very, very, very minimal. And there is good reason for receiving it. It's morally permissible to receive the vaccine. Because by receiving the vaccine, in no way are you contributing to the abortion that occurred decades ago. The vaccine is not developed or produced using cell lines from aborted babies. So in no way are you encouraging more abortions to occur by receiving the vaccine. It would be morally permissible. Now, of course, because it's very important for us to pledge to promote the dignity of human life. If there were vaccines that had absolutely no connection to abortion at all, those would be the ones that we'd make use of. I should also note that there is another vaccine going before the FDA pretty soon, one produced by Moderna, and the same analysis applies to the Moderna vaccine that would also be morally permissible to receive. And so as we journey through this season of Advent, there's much for us to rejoice over. God has sustained us so far these last months. God has blessed us in many ways. And as we move forward through this time of Advent, Let us reflect on the many blessings that the Lord has given us. Let us rejoice and give him thanks.